Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura viraya macchapadana pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. We are now on the agenda 1:30 to 3 o'clock. So puja we have done, followed by briefing by Brother Teo on how to strengthen the 5 spiritual faculty. So this sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. Samadhi is the unwavering or collected mind, and wisdom is panya. So all this you no need to copy. They are all in the notes. So that you can help overcome the 5 hindrance of mind, which is sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. So this one, we have dealt with it on the first day a little bit. So I have written them on the whiteboard. After this session, I will rub it off, okay? Sorry, we need to fix the battery. Yes, the battery was charging. So you look at the whiteboard, the spiritual faculty are also written there. The hindrance are also written there. So now we will teach you how to develop them and how to strengthen them. You see, all of meditation, most important one, is to understand this first pair of Dhamma, essential Dhamma. The Buddha said, in order to develop the meditation, which is the mental training, we need to develop heedfulness. Heedfulness can be actually translated as developing sati to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. When you have developed sati, that is the first step. Then when you have stabilized it, use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That is called heedfulness. Heedfulness in Pali is apamada, the Buddha said. Then if you look at Dhammapada verse 21, it's in the notes, subsequent notes, I don't know which one. You read through, you will know, you will find it. Dhammapada verse 21 say, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. And heedlessness is the path to the dead. So this makes it very clear. Without heedfulness, you cannot meditate. So if heedfulness is not there, means you don't have mindfulness. And if there is no mindfulness, you cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That's why now you start to understand why a lot of so-called Buddhist cultivators, practitioners, and even monks, they find it so difficult to develop the cultivation. The reason being, they cannot develop the understanding of what this apamada is, and they cannot really get the right definition for sati or mindfulness. So that is the reason why it's so difficult. So now that we know this, we will have to move on. If this is what the Buddha tells us, we will come to one conclusion. Without mindfulness, without sati, we cannot start. Correct? Everything needs sati, need mindfulness. Why? Without mindfulness, there is no heedfulness. You are as if dead. Correct? Right. Agreed. That second aspect of sati is cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Why do you need sati? What is Noble Eightfold Path? You got right view, the three important right view, the spiritual law that governs all of life and existence. So under this Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha specifically explained the whole of universe is it, that we live in. There are five universal order of nature that governs all of life and existence. And of these five, two are scientific. That's why the Buddha said, the first two, physical order of nature and biological order of nature, he called it Utu Niyama and Bija Niyama. So these two, he said, the scientists are very good, they are very familiar, they have gone into it very deep. That's why recently, the last 30 years, science and technology progressed very fast. The human civilization evolved very fast because we have this right understanding of the nature's law, the physical and biological law that governs our life and our existence. So physical law are all physical things. They follow that law. Like all of elements, water boils at certain degrees. Under atmospheric pressure is 100 degrees Celsius. If you change the pressure, it will boil at different temperature. So this is nature's law. There is no magic behind it. There is no God to control all these things. Then even like all of the metal, they got their own melting point. Lead, even gold. Then when water you boil, it becomes steam. Then you cool it down, it becomes water again. You cool it further, you take away more heat, then it becomes ice. So these are nature's law that governs them. Then all of material, physical things, they also obey that law. Everything that you come to use and experience in this world. Your car, your house, everything has physical thing. They obey this law. Then when it comes to biological order, it has got to do with all biological things. Means our human body, yeah? All the organs, all the organic thing, yeah? That has life. Life doesn't mean human life alone, yes or not? Like plant, they also have life. They are living thing. They are not living being. They also have their consciousness, but mono consciousness, not as complicated and complex as the human being. The human being one is more complex. Biological order not only covers the human being, all of the animal world, all of the plant, all the fishes, all of the insects, everything that has life have this biological component. That's why scientists are very advanced in medical science. All of the what they call genetic engineering field, medical field. That's why they got what they call biology you study. Then you study botany. These are all related to this order, Bija Niyama. Whereas the other three, they are spiritual law. And this spiritual law, the scientists understand very little. Almost none. Very, very little. They only got one law which is quite close. Law of Newton's law. They don't call it cause and effect. No. They say to every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And that is a physical law. Newton's, I think, third law. So all these are what they call scientific law. But the Buddha, because of his great enlightenment, he is fully enlightened. He was able to understand the other three physical laws more thoroughly than anybody in this universe. Even in the field of like science and technology, where scientists have progressed so far, comparatively, the spiritual law, the Buddha has perfected the understanding completely. That's why he is called the fully enlightened one. Not only enlightened, fully enlightened. So in order to develop this faith in the Buddha, the Sadda, we need to understand how great and how special he is. And because of that, the Buddha can tell you specifically what are these laws that governs your life and existence. The first one is the law of karma, is it? You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. And each and every living being, they are subject to this law. Nobody can escape. That's why he said you got to reflect clearly every day, even in our morning chanting, evening chanting. Every day you got to reflect. The five daily contemplation, the last one is this one. The Buddha always asks you to recall to mind. Each and every one of us, living being, we are born of our karma. Here to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. You cannot blame anybody for what happened to your life. The past is already something gone. You cannot change. You cannot relive it. So whatever that is past, it will condition you. It becomes part of karma. So if there is condition in present life or in future life, then it will arise. Then it will actually, like, they call it the friction. Friction can be positive or negative. The friction of it, if it causes suffering and misery to people, future life, when you come, when there is condition, you become the victim. You have to experience those things that you did to people. So likewise, if you have goodness, virtue, wisdom, and you have cultivated all of the noble, eightfold path factor, right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, then when you come, you will have the condition to receive all this. People will talk to you nicely. Your spouse or your loved one, they will act, speak, and think with accordance to what you have given to people. If you do your duty as parent, you will have parents who will care for you and do their duty towards you. If you neglect, irresponsible, in future you come, you will have parents and loved ones who will neglect you and maybe irresponsible towards you also. So whatever happened, the Buddha said, you have to understand this is the law. Then the next one, equally powerful, is the mind, is it? There is a law, nature's law, that governs all the behavior of mind. He called it citta niyama. Citta is mind. Nature's order of mind. So he said there is no such thing as psychic power or the same. But these are all nature's phenomena following this law. You train your mind to have that type of energy view, that type of possibility can arise. So it's all very natural. Then likewise, he said, you must understand how your mind works, how it functions. That's why the Buddha can specifically tell you that your mind functions this way. He called it the dependent origination of paticca samuppada, the dwelling. He said, dependent on certain things arise. So your mind is the same, is it? The mind follows this dependent origination, is it? Because you do not have the wisdom, the understanding of truth. You have ignorance. So dependent on ignorance, you start to create sankhara, which is mental activity, is it? And mental activity is your thinking, understand? Your mental reaction, your views, your opinion, and everything that you arise within life itself. So due to ignorance, sankhara come to be. Otherwise you wouldn't think, you would become heedless, understand? So the reason why you are heedless is because you have delusion. You have ignorance. And the most powerful ignorance is self-delusion. Sakkāyādiṭṭhi. If you don't break this, there is no chance even to be a sotapan, first stage of sainthood. So coming back to this law of the mind, basically the Dhamma is about how your mind functions. Is to understand what this mind is all about. That's why just now we went through. As a human being, the Buddha said, you have a physical body, physical form, you have a mind. And the mind is subdivided in the form of aggregate, and these are what your mind can do. It can feel, it can perceive, it can create mental activity, like thinking, planning, scheming, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and all the peace, happiness, everything. Then it can also make you conscious of things. It can allow you to experience all of the consciousness that you can arise through your physical senses and your mind. So basically this mind, you don't understand and you deludedly grasp and cling and take it for granted, suffering will arise. You will grasp at it thinking that it's real, thinking that it is you, belongs to you. Because it's very difficult for you not to think that it is not you. Like every day you arise feeling, pleasant, unpleasant feeling, your like and dislike. You say, how can you say not me? I feel it, you know. Very nice feeling, you know. When I enjoy my food, when I have a cup of tea, when I have good news, there is a lot of joy. And I feel it. Why you say not me? But likewise, the Buddha said, when you are afflicted by the first noble truth, you become miserable. And that one also real. Because you cannot see. So how can feeling be you? The Buddha said. If feeling is you, what will happen to you? When you have pleasant feeling, then suddenly sad news come, your feeling become miserable. Did you die? You never die. you still continue to live in it. So how can feeling be you? Feeling come and go. Condition arising. When things go your way, you're happy. Things don't go your way, you're unhappy. So if feeling come and go, and you're still around, then how can feeling be you? True or not? True or not? It's very easy to understand it. If feeling is you, when it changes from pleasant to unpleasant, you should die. You never die. But if feeling is not you, likewise, perception is not you, sankara is not you, consciousness is not you, then how come it arises in you? And this is the mystery that the Buddha wants you to find out. This is Dhamma investigation. This is meditation. Is it not? If it's not me, then how come it arises in me? And then I must silence my mind and find out. Then I realize, really not me. Because when I silence, I saw how it arises. Exactly like the physics experiment. The battery, the bulb, and the switch. Upon contact, the light bulb just light up. You don't need a god or a creator or a permanent unchanging entity, a self inside there to make you conscious. Understand or not? Understand or not? You don't need a soul inside there to make you feel, to allow you to perceive things. There is no such thing. All these are conditions arising. And you can understand it because in the teaching, there is a lot of example, especially the Mahayana Surangama Sutta. Because they give the analogy of you have the eye as an organ. We every time say, I see. I see. That I, that capital I. Who is that I? When you say I see, who is it? You may think it's the ego. But actually, who is that I? Because you are deluded by this word. I see. Yeah, what? If there is no consciousness that arises, how can I see? But the Buddha said, yes, there is consciousness. But in the seeing consciousness, it's only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see. But you deludedly go and get yourself entangled and say, I see. So you think that fellow is you. This form and mind. Then you say, my eye see. Logical or not? E-Y-E. Without eye, cannot see. Correct or not? So my eye see. Accept. Agree. Okay. Then I ask you another question, like the Buddha in the Surangama Sutta said, when you are sleeping, your eye open. You never see. So, the dead man, eye also open. Never see. So, then how can you say the eye see? Oh, then you smart. You say, my mind. Without mind, I cannot see. My mind see. Okay. Agree or not? Without mind, you cannot see. My mind see. Miss? Correct. This one, because you Buddhist, you know, but do you see in the meditation? To see the meditation and to know it as a knowledge are two different things. Understand? That's what meditation is all about. That's what vipassana is all about. Not the vipassana that you theoretically theorize. Through logic and all these things. So, if you say my mind see, appear very logical to the, what they call, general public. Then the question is, like the Buddha said, if you say my mind see, your mind see. Then the blind man has a mind in there. Understand not? Why can't he see? And then you start to realize one very important thing. This one you can understand it because real life is like that. So you now come to understand. Your eye alone cannot see. Understand not? Correct not? Dead man don't see with the eye. Then the blind man, mind alone, cannot see. Understand not? So how does seeing consciousness come to be? How does it come? Like she said, all the conditions must be there. You must have a mind, you must have an organ that is functioning, then there must be sense data, color, shape, and form, external form, external object. Then there must be contact, means media, the light must come. Upon contact, if your mind is there, then that consciousness come to be. It's like the physics experiment. You on the switch, the light bulb lights up. The lighting up is that consciousness, understand? The mind become conscious, understand? But when he become conscious, there was no word, no label, nothing. No. Understand? You see things as they are, no? Without the labeling, without the word, without the concept and the idea. Well, there is no one to see. It's just that light bulb light up, understand? Conscious. But because you are so deluded, so conditioned, so habitual in your reaction, because you are so conditioned, every time you arise seeing, you definitely jump to conclusion, I see. Even if you don't say I see, you react to what you see. Understand? Who is the flaw? Who think he see? Who make all this reaction? Who is the flaw? The egoic mind, the thought, correct? So the egoic mind is not you, understand? The egoic mind is something that you create through consciousness, understand? Egoic mind. Because without thought, nothing arises. They say the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything comes to be. Understand? So when you arise this mind, actually initially it's just a consciousness. Seeing, only seeing consciousness, no one to see. But then because of sakadity, self-delusion, you go and associate and entangle with the seeing. Then you say, I see. But you blur. You never ask and investigate who is the one that I say I. That's why it takes you quite a while. Because most of you who attended my class, finally you know, I alone don't see, mind alone don't see. Everything will only arise when there is condition. And how you confirm the Buddha's understanding, is it? Nothing arises without condition. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has explained using the law of dependent origination. That's why Sariputta, when he heard that stanza from Asaji, Venerable Asaji, he straight away became Sotapan. He didn't even meet the Buddha yet. Because he saw Asaji one day, Pindapat, very serene, very calm, very radiant, very, very beautiful monk. Then he decided to approach him because he realized he must have something, otherwise he cannot be so serene, so peaceful, and so full of joy, so happy. So after Asaji finished his Pindapat meal, he approached him. He said, most venerable, you look very serene, very calm, very radiant. May I know who your teacher is and what does he teach? Asaji being very humble, he said, no, I am still very junior. He said, I don't know anything. He said, I know very little. Then Sariputta, you know, finally he became the foremost disciple of the Buddha, which is foremost in wisdom. He told Asaji, never mind. Tell me whatever little that you know is enough for me. So Asaji saw him so sincere, so just relate to him. My teacher told me, he said, whatever that arises in this universe, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, my teacher has explained through the law of dependent origination. Sariputta heard that, straight away becomes Sotapan. So why you meditate so hard? Go and read. Because he has cultivated before. He has done so much homework before. That's why this life he come, he can awaken. Not everybody got that type of power. This one is first turning wisdom. Not even from the Buddha, from Asaji. So when you start to understand that there is no one to see, seeing is natural condition arising. when the eye is properly functioning, when there is a mind consciousness inside, there is this external sense data upon contact, naturally it arises. So there is no soul inside to command it to arise, understand? To be responsible for making it conscious for you, understand? That's why the Buddha understanding is different. His teaching is different. He says anatta, non-self, nobody inside. But you deludedly go and cling. Understand? When the eye is there, what happened to you? When this fellow is there, you think this form of mind is you. What happened to you? We will have to deal with that Dhamma now. You will arise the selfishness. When you think you exist, you think you are different from the rest. So you want to own things, you want to possess things. What happened to you? This egoic mind conditions selfishness and asana. That's why you can become very selfish. You can have a lot of desire, greed, lust, covetousness, craving to be and not to be, craving for the senses and all the things, positive and negative. So this is the culprit responsible for what they call the three evil roots. That are the roots of all evil that can make you evil. So roots of all evil, I need to rub a bit. Because these three evil roots are very important. You need to understand this essential Dhamma. The Buddha called it the three evil roots of suffering. They are root of all evil. And these three evil roots, he just summarized them as three very important things. Take it up. Three evil roots. From the word you know. Root of all evils. The first one is greed. And greed, the meaning is very wide. The second one is hatred. The meaning also very wide. The third one is delusion. That's why this is also an evil root. A lot of people know these three. But you ask them to explain. Very limited understanding. What is greed? You think only greedy fellow with a greedy mind is greed. What else are greed? Desire is a type of greed, correct? And that is part of greediness. But what else are greed? Craving, of course, is greed. Craving is a desire. But you never see. Your selfishness is greed, understand? Selfishness. This is greed, no? Yeah, you're very selfish. Selfish means what? Everything also for me, not for me. Not for me, I don't want to do. Not for me, I don't want to donate. I don't want to help. If it's not my loved one, nothing to do with me. But my loved one, yeah, you're very selfish. If you got nothing related to you, you also don't want to be involved. That's why during the early day, when the Buddha said all living beings are ignorant, I told you before last night, university student, some more top student in my state, engineering, MU engineering graduate. So we thought we had a lot of intellectual, had a lot of smart. Then later on when I developed the mindfulness, when I saw my own mind, I got a shock on my life. I realized the Buddha was on the dot, very accurate. We are really ignorant. Because we carry along this selfishness for so long. I realized at that time, almost 94% of things that I do involve this egoic mind on self. Nothing to relate to this self or this entity, I don't want to do one. Even if I do also, I won't do it properly. Then you realize, seldom are you very sincere in helping people. Very seldom. Of course, I got that nature too from my past. When I was young, I do a lot of that. But as I grew up, I do less of that because I don't understand that time. Then now it's the opposite. Now I almost do everything that way for others, no more for this self, because it's all conditioned. Not so real, not what you think. Nature is like that. The nature's law is like that. So when you understand, then this selfishness is completely reversed, gone. And this is the evil root that you cannot see. Yeah. When you break your precept, commit sexual misconduct, it's also selfishness. Why? You, number one, your desire, your lust, what you want. That's why you're selfish. You can do that to destroy your family, to cause so much harm and hurt to your own loved one, your family, your children, your wife, and all that. What type of person is that? That's why they don't see this. How selfish are they? So, greed is only one small part. Selfishness is the main one. Then all your covetousness. You know what is covetousness? Things that you have, you want to own, you want to have. What is it? What is hogging? I don't know. Oh yeah, hoarding. You keep on keeping. Like your antique and your whatever you like one. You keep on keeping. Because you think you own them. But don't worry. Brother Sui An and Mi Fong, there are a lot of the Wo Xiong Zai. That one people give one. Sometimes they buy. But it's very meaningful. That one is not craving. That one is meaningful. But if craving and desire one, means don't have also must go and look for it. This one got condition. He saw very nice. That's why many of the spiritual trip, he buy, then he give me extra. He give to other people. That is the generous heart. As I say and do, Mi Fong, they all do. And they like this because they got affinity with all this. They can learn from the cute little monk. There are different expressions. But everyone, you realize, got one common. What is it? Always smile. Always like very free the mind. That's the beauty of all this symbol. So when it comes to the evil roots of greed, it's all of your selfishness, your covetousness, your lust. You know what is lust, huh? Your craving, your desire. Then whatever you want to become, the becoming. Because you want to become something. Then what about hatred? Because of the egoic mind, what will happen? When you think you exist, you're real. First thing is you become greedy, selfish. Then, when things don't go your way, you get angry. That's why emotional negativity, anger, hatred. So this evil root is very deep, very wide. It's not only when you hate somebody, when you are angry with somebody. It includes what? Emotional negativity, one of them. Emotional negativity include ill will, everything. But the subtle one you cannot see. What are the subtle ones? Your envy, your jealousy. These are all evil roots of hatred. Understand? So envy, jealousy, the subtle ones are many more. Your dislike. Understand? Then your greed include your like and dislike. That's how you realize here, your likes and dislikes. your pleasant and unpleasant, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So greed is positive craving, asana. Everything that you like, you want it repeated. Even your meditation, when you got a good sitting, next session or in future when you come for another retreat, oh, your last time was so good, now lousy, my meditation very bad. And that is craving. Because you have this like and dislike towards specific experience. So you're craving to have that state repeated. You cannot accept the reality of the moment. You cannot see things as they are. That given this reality, this moment, the condition, like that, it has to be like that. No other way. You want it your way, that's why you arise craving. Suffering is the result. So this evil road includes your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, which is sensual desire. We miss this word now. You remember? Sensual desire. Sensual desire. And this is also one of the hindrances of mind. Sensual desire. Then you will. So you realize the evil root corresponds to the sensual, to the hindrance. So when you throughout the day have this evil root of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, your mental hindrance is full. That's why you become habitual. You heedless. Constantly arise this type of thought. Then your emotion oscillate to and fro. So the egoic mind is like that. When you think you exist, the wrong view, the sakadi, self-delusion, will condition you to have selfishness, greed, craving, desire, lust, and all those things. Then when things don't go your way, you can become angry, emotional. Then you got jealousy, you got envy, dislike, unpleasant feeling, if you will. All these are the evil root. Means when you have them in your mind, listen, this is the real Dhamma. When you have this evil root in your mind, they are the root of all evil. They make you evil, understand not? And the Buddha go another step further and call it the three poison. Understand not? You heard of this? The three poison. I think Mahayana used this word. Theravada always three evil roots, so ma. The Mahayana says santu, understand? You know what is poison or not? When you take, you die. Kill you. You say, cannot be, I got a lot of evil roots, I still around, I may go die. But here means, spiritually you are dead, understand? That's why the Buddha says the heedless are as if dead. So the three poison is, when you keep the hatred inside you, like you hate especially your good friend or your loved one because of some misunderstanding, or a lot of children hate their parents for certain reasons, because they feel that the parent has been irresponsible, unfair, and all those things. You keep the hatred, what happens? It's an evil root, no? Root of all evil, you become evil, no? That is a poison. It kills you completely. No more spiritual life. So the danger of evil root is they are the root of all evil. That's why you must root it out. So in order to root out this evil root of hatred and anger, the best way is to develop the understanding to forgive. Understand? The moment you forgive, you free yourself. You understand that statement? The moment you forgive, you don't actually forgive that guy. You actually free yourself. Because when you forgive, means you don't hate that person anymore. Right? Correct or not? So the evil root has been taken out. Right? So you are free. Right? Spiritually, you are free. Right? That's why you never think like that. You say, how can that guy did that to me? You ask me to forgive him. This is what human beings think. But the advice is, when you forgive, you can forgive. You free yourself. You liberate yourself. But you never look at it that way. That's why without mindfulness, without the Dhamma, you cannot understand. That's why I was able to see human beings are so deluded now. So difficult for them to forget. Even I heard certain pastor, my brother-in-law's wedding. He went through the church ceremony because they were Christian. The pastor, during that ceremony that time, my wife and me represented his parents. They are my wife's parents no more. And the pastor got another, also within their church, help to pair them together and say good things. Then he was saying, as couple, you take this matrimony vow not until death shall you part and all those things. Then anything happen in between, you should learn how to forgive and forget. Then the pastor went up and commented. He said, you got a message, huh? But I can tell you, is it easy to forgive, cannot forget, is it? When he said like that, I was looking at him, he's a pastor. Means you never forgive. And I said, you only verbally say, yeah, I can forgive you, but I can never forget what you did to me. What type of forgiveness is that? And I said, you see, that's why human being is so, at times, cannot see their own contradiction. When you really forgive me, you no more hate, no more anger, no more negative, you just want to forgive and move on. Then how can you still recall those things? If you can still recall, means you have never forgotten. You still never forgive. And to say it out, forgive is easy, but forget is difficult. Means you don't understand what is forgiveness. So when you cultivate all this, you must reflect, contemplate, and ask yourself, who is forgiving who? Understand? Law of karma is like that. You reap what you sow. When I forgive, I free myself. When I give to my nature. In future, I receive them back. Understand? So it's not you donate. No, it's not you give to people. Society look at it like that. You donate. You're very generous. But if you donate with sincerity, actually you donate to your nature. All this come back to you. Like Warren Buffett, Bill Gates. You look at them. Every life they come, they donate a lot. And every life they come, they're so wealthy, so prosperous, they receive back. So this is nature's law. Never go and think through conventional reality. My money, why should I donate? Why should I give? Oh, then you become selfish. You think you can own, you think you can take away. You think it follow you when you die. Physically, your wealth, your money, it never follow you, understand? When you die. But when you donate as generosity, it follow your karmic nature. Then it come back to you. That's why you don't know how to live. That's why you every time also make the wrong, what they call, they said, make the wrong calculation. Ta xin pun. Ta cho xin pun. Because penny-wise, powerfully, but you don't understand the nature's law. So delusion is the last one. What is delusion? Delusion means what? Mandarin is called what? What is zi? Gong gong. That's why in Hokkien, Reverend Sulano always translate as gu chi, like the gu, like the cow. It's stupid, isn't it? People just put a rope on the nose. Actually, the cow is so big, isn't it? And so strong, isn't it? He just want to kick the human being gone, isn't it? But because the rope is on the nose, he feel the pain. He obey what the human being want him to do. That's why he said, like the cow. Then when you want to create we used to say this in Mandarin and Cantonese, gen niu tan qing, tong ngao tan kam. He cannot appreciate. Gu is deluded. That's why gu qi, that's why Chinese, they don't know how to choose the animal. Whereas the rat is very smart. He can hide and at night come out and take your food. You angry also, he take.
Whereas the guo is so big. That's why the 12 animal, the rat number one, the cow number two. Yes, the rat is very wise. So when you talk about Dhamma, it's the same. Delusion means what? It's a type of ignorance, no? A very powerful ignorance. No? Gong gong, you know what is gong? Actually, in English is what? Gong gong. It's not stupid, no? Not down, not down. Gong gong. No, no, no. Gong means. Really no understanding on it. I'm very foolish. So when the Buddha say, before you become enlightened, you are very gong. You think you're very smart, you think you're very intellectual. You think you're very successful. Wow, CEO, what and what, lawyer, doctor, engineer. But he say you got a lot of delusion. And the worst delusion is self-delusion. Sakkaya ditti. It comes from the word illusion. Illusion is something not real, you think is real. That's why the magician are called illusionists. They create illusion for you to see. So when you are deluded, you every time see illusion. Because whatever that is logical or what they call reasonable, you just accept. I use the word gullible, you become gullible. And then you get yourself entangled. And the worst delusion is self-delusion, sakkaya ditti, thinking that this form and mind is you. And this is just the first aspect now. And this one is very easy to see, we are very gross, the human being. The second aspect is the one that delude you most of the time, that you cannot see. That one is the mental fire aggregate. So this one is the gross one, first aspect. First aspect of form and mind. As a human being. The second aspect is, you got four aggregate of mind, Then how does the form, the mental form, enters the mind with every moment of consciousness? And that one is what the Buddha talked about in the dependent origination, the dwelling. You see, we got this aggregate of sanya, perception, because we have this power to perceive. So everything that you come to see outside, the phenomenal world, the external form, understand? What are external form? You see me. This human form, this is the external form. The whiteboard, the lighting, the building, and all of the whatever conscious to you. Even my voice, my vibration, whatever you can perceive, they are the external form, mental form. So perception is the one that brings all this external form into the mind. But the moment you perceive it, it arises in the mind, understand? Like the Buddha image, how you know? Through your perception, through your memory, then it enters your mind. So that seeing consciousness that has the four aggregate of feeling, perception, together with what they call activity of mind, means your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your emotion, and the consciousness, simultaneously when it arises, this mental form enters the mind. That's why it becomes the mental five aggregate of form and mind. And that is the one that the Buddha talked about under dependent origination. Not the three lifespan one. It's every moment, every instant, arising, passing away, arising, passing away. So that part, we don't talk about it because they want meditation. So the three evil root, the last one is self-delusion. So this one is, how do you know that it's delusion? Because when they arise, there is what? Doubt is of course one of them. Doubt is one of them. But the restlessness and all those things. What is this restlessness? Whatever that condition your fear,
your worry, your anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Grief, etc., etc. This one is all the evil roots of delusion. But this one, textbook cannot find. They never tell you this. They just tell you delusion. One word. Even self-delusion was never added in. Yeah. So you see, when you are deluded, means what? You gong-gong, don't understand. That's why you grasp, you cling, you hold, and you react. That's why you have fear. The source of all this delusion is fear. When you have fear, means you are deluded. But you don't understand. Fear of this body getting old, getting sick, and die. And that is delusion. Fear of losing your loved one. Fear of all this first noble truth, reality, afflicting you, affecting you. So fear will lead to all this worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation and grief. Without fear, you will not worry, understand? Fear of death. Fear of financial problem. Fear of losing your loved one. So all this is fear. When you got fear, what happens? You start to worry. You start to have anxiety. Then you become sorrowful. That's why you enter depression. Then you start to lament, grieve, cry, complain. People come and see you. You never understand how I feel. Especially now you look at MH370, the family members and all things. Because it's very traumatic, especially in China, one child policy last time. So all these things, to them, they cannot accept. They cannot come to terms with that reality, that noble truth that strike them and hit them. So this is what the teaching is all about. So, okay, we have covered a few essential ones. Yes, you got any question? Okay, you give example, then I will explain to you. Fear is fear, Nessa. In that case, I agree, because it can trigger adrenaline, understand? No? Adrenaline. Then all of a sudden you become really energetic, understand? No? But like it or not, fear is fear. You know what is fear or not? When you have fear, mentally it triggers off a reaction on your physical, understand? No? Your parasympathetic nerve has this fear energy. And it is very negative, understand? You know what is fear like or not? Is it urine also come out? That one is Hokkien people say, They always say, kia ka lao jiu. No, because see, you look at the film show, you got see, the gangsterism. They put the gun on the head. Then they shoot empty one, but the guy pee. Because the fear of death is tremendous energy field. But when you understand that there is no one to die, then your whole understanding is different. Then you can live your life so differently. So what is there? You ask yourself, who died? What died? If what the Buddha says is true, no one died, then you go and worry for what? Understand? You go and arise all this fear, worry, anxiety for what? Understand? You feel so like that, you don't feel so like that. Which is more tangible?
Objective, I mean, in terms of objective fear, then of course,
No, it's the same. No, it's the same. I ask you one simple question. Because life is very simple. Why must you fear? Understand? You fear also like that. You don't fear also like that. But it is the reality. Understand? Take for example, health problem. Doctor say, cancer, third stage, fourth stage. Wow, start to panic, sweat. Yes, or not? The thoughts start to project. What to do? It's not to say illogical fear, because fear has a root behind. Understand? And the root is delusion. And our mind is a conscious mind. Understand? Not the true mind. The true mind that has the wisdom don't react like that. No fear. You know what is conscious mind? The mind that is within the conscious, mundane world, reality, the world of thought, understand not? What is thought? Thought is respond to memory. Thought is of the past. Without memory, there is no thought. But you don't know how to create the word, understand not? You don't know how to arrive that thought. Thought is like of the past. Understand? So when you live in a conscious world, means you live in a world of thought. So thought is within the field of the known. Understand? If I know that thing, then my thought can give a name and a label. Understand? Everything that I come to know, I can label it. That's what thought is capable of. But if something new, thought cannot label. No? Thought got to learn. No? That's why I look at dictionary, you know, or you go to school and they tell you, okay, this is what. Let's say new technology, smartphone, never see before. Announce, come. And then they give you a name, thought learn. Understand? So thought can never understand the unknown. Understand? Thought can never fathom the unknown. Understand? So when you have delusion, means what? You don't know the truth. You cannot understand the unknown, which is within the field of thought, within knowledge. Understand? You follow? No? That is your thought telling you. You follow or not? That is your thought telling you. Understand or not? You follow or not? Where your thought conceptualize, create an idea. Definitely you are. When you jump, you feel also like that, no fear also like that. The worst is, when you have fear, you behave weird. Wait. I give you this example, you know. The Olympic divers, they are so graceful, so beautiful, because they have jumped until they are so confident, they understand what this is. So that's why when they jump, without fear, they are so graceful and so beautiful, understand? Whereas if you jump with that fear, you know what happened. You know how is it to be very fearful from a height you jump down. It's not make his mind to accept the fear, because they train. It's not a problem because they are training themselves for certain competition. They want to be good at it. Understand? So you create that training to develop the skill. And they do with a lot of what they call understanding. Because they are very graceful, they are very mindful. That's why they dare to jump. They can do stunt that normal people cannot do. But what I want you to understand is the root cause of fear is delusion. Understand? Ignorant. And that is the root, root, the source. So fear can be subdivided into all sorts of fear, but the root behind is still fear, and that's born of delusion. So when there is fear, it spin off all these things. The reason why human beings fear is, you listen carefully, this is the Dhamma that you have to penetrate. You depend on thought to live life. And thought is limited to the known. That's why it's the conscious world. Understand? Thought live in a conscious world. Understand? Through your consciousness, you arise whatever you can perceive and see, then thought labor it. Understand? So whatever that is within the known, thought can accept. Thought can actually arise the words, the concept. That's why thought divide, and you don't see the danger of thought's division. But limitation of thought is always within the field of known. It cannot understand whatever that is beyond thought, within the field of unknown, like awareness. Awareness can see thought. Thought cannot see awareness. That's why when you meditate, when the nature is there, thought loses its power. Understand?
If the tsunami comes,
same, no problem. That's why you don't understand. The come, wait, listen. You say, come, let the tsunami come. Wait, who say that? The thoughts say that. But when there is wisdom, there is understanding. So what? The reality is the reality. If it's meant to be, will be. That's why in tsunami, there are a lot of survivors too. Understand? Why you want to go and fear? You should do something more tangible, like what I say. Understand? You fear also, the sickness is there, the reality is there. Understand? You worry also, the reality is there. Why can't you accept the reality of the moment and fear ceases to be? You see that point or not? Fear has power because you allow your thought to move. Understand not? Thought create what? The future for you to fear. Understand not? Thought create memory for you to recall and become miserable. Understand not? You definitely can't see yourself. You use thought to see. Understand not? Correct. So, what? No. You see, I can tell you an example. If I were to face that, I got no fear. I would just look. Understand not? Then, what is this thought telling me? Because there is this understanding. Then I will want to experience it. Then I will flow with it. Where I have seen on the TV how tsunami come and go. Understand? Then, whatever will be, will be. That if you just let things be, even when you are deep underneath the water or whatever, or the tsunami swallow you or smash your body, that nature inside, eternally, nothing wrong, nothing happened. Then because there is no more delusion, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no evil root of greed, hatred and delusion. There is no avijja, ignorance. There is no rebirth consciousness. It cannot carry through, understand not? It ceases to be. And all these things that happen, you will know. That's why you will know how to die before you die. My teacher, the Acharyantra, always tell me, you must know how to die before you die. Then only you know how to live. You can understand him, huh? You don't know how to die, you don't know how to live. Can. Where's the mic? Oh, sorry. Sorry.
This is a very curious question, born out of curiosity. I understand what you have explained just now.
Yes.
But I add further to that.
Can. Thank you.
So normal people, if a tsunami comes, a normal person will run. Will an arahant run?
That's why human beings very funny. You know? They themselves are not enlightened, not arahant, but they try to predict how the enlightened and the arahant will do. And they tell you when you enlighten already, you got no more craving, no. Good food you don't eat, no. So I'm not enlightened. You give me good food, I eat. Yeah, this is not me. Why you want to talk about enlightened being when you are not in that state, just like the Buddha said. He can only use word, and word can never describe that reality. I can share with you, but it defeats the purpose. Otherwise, you will go and think, then you go and quote me. Hey, Brother Teo said, no la, arahan na, ayo, when the tsunami come, they like superhero. Like that, I die. Understand? Arahan also, that form and mind arahan is all different. Understand? They got their preference. Understand? Like during the Buddha's time, certain arahan got certain preference. Understand? Certain tendency. Got one like to jump on like a monkey, like that one. Then got certain arahan, they want to go to Dutanga one. Then like Kasapa, he like to go to the poor, he don't want to go to the rich. You cannot say he discriminate, no. But that is what he understand. He choose to help those like that. And it's a choice. It's not that he has preference, because he must have gone through a certain type of experience in certain life that make him have that type of preference. Like when I come this life, my nature is very different from all the rest. You know? I realize all this, even Xu Yun, Master Xuan Hua, even the Chi Chi Wan and this Fo Guang, you know, they go through a lot of not a smooth path. You know? Initially, they actually a lot of hardship. You know? They suffer. So Xu Yun was beaten by robber how many times? You know? Robbed his temple. And Master Xuan Hua also were abused, and a lot of things happened to him. Then a lot of them, like singing earlier, also very sick, go through a very tough time. You look at the history. But for me, I look back, very funny, you know. I choose to come in a different way. I choose to come in an era where my nature already understood the timing. It has to be this period transition, and I like transition period. That was my nature from the past. Then like the Buddha, you can go and like use your logical mind, the thought, actually the Buddha wasted lah. Why he come 2,600 years ago? He come now, technology so good, the whole world, universe enlightened. You go and think, you think the Buddha is less wise than you. Understand? There's a reason why he has to come 2,600 years ago. At that time, it sets the condition for a lot of things. If he don't come, the Dhamma will not be around. You philosopher will not be able to gain it. Then let's say he come modern time. You think people got time for Buddha? No? Your smartphone is so nice to play. You are carried away by all this. Until when suffering comes, then you go and approach the Buddha. By then, too late, you also over it. Buddha also you don't recognize. And nowadays, you look at the internet, everywhere also claim to be Buddha. Which one you trust? Yeah? Oh. Eh? Dalai Lama, they say, Buddha, you go. Why don't you go? Because the world is very funny. You come like that, even you real one, people don't believe you. Because they, through their thought, they got certain idea of what the enlightened one is. No? Understand? No? He said the enlightened one must like that, like that, like that, like that. They are not enlightened, but they expect the enlightened one to be like that. They got like that. Understand? Can. Yeah, pass the mic. Yeah, pass the mic. Yes.
I would like to share with you my own personal experience of fear. In the year 2010, I think, I remember, I was in Jiangjiajie. Do you all know, those who have been there would have remembered the avatar, where they fly through the hole. And can you remember the staircase that goes up and comes down? Yeah. You see, I'm basically I'm like a monkey. I like to jump around. So when as I was going up, I was very happy because I forgot all about it, how high it was. And I went up and I was like probably the third person to reach there. Yeah. Self-praise and waving to my friends and all that, right? So after taking photographs and everything, you know, then we all started to go down. And as usual, I'm always very curious. So I will go here and go there, and I'm basically the last one to go down. It didn't dawn on me that it was that high. And as I was going down, to be honest with you, I don't like to tell people this story because it's very embarrassing. As I was coming down, the fear was actually gradually building up because it's so high to me. So I started walking from directly looking, I was walking like a crab, sideways. And from sideways, I was literally walking one step at a time, not looking down at all, even once. And I can tell you, there were people who were looking at me very strangely. I believe the fear must have shown in my face. I could have been very pale. And I was holding onto the grill so tight that I could hardly move. And because I went with a tour, so everybody, most of my dear friends who knows my character, I'm very active. So I go here, go there, go everywhere. So they thought I got lost. So they were actually a bit worried because it took me more than half an hour to come down. And when they finally saw me, when they can see me from where the base is, the foothill base is, when they saw me, they were actually very annoyed with me because they thought I was, fooling around. Yeah. But I think the minute one of them, I think Monica, May's sister, when she saw my face, they realized that I was actually in such tremendous fear. And I actually cried. I'm in my 50s. And I actually cried when I almost touched the foothill. And my legs actually went weak when I saw my friends. Because then my friends are my support. When I'm up there, I don't have any support because I don't know anybody. So I have to do it all by myself. That's how fear is. The second part of the story is because I never conquered fear in that sense of the attitude. Yeah. The second, and this is very, I hope this is Dharma. For me, it's Dharma. If any one of you have been to one city near Puchong, they have this, Mimi, how many floor is it, Mimi? I can't remember. I think it's 10 floor or 15 or 10 floor, yeah? And they have this glass, yeah, right across. And it's, you can see right to the bottom, you know. And this girlfriend of mine said, come, Joyce. You know, of course, he didn't knew that I had this phobia, yeah? And she said, come, I'll show you something. I said, what is it? Yeah, come. I said, okay. As usual, very curious, I went. When I saw the glass, I was momentarily, I actually stopped right dead where I was. But the funny part is this, my friend took my hand and took me across to it. But I can tell the fear is very real, very, very real. And when he took me there, I said, no, I can't do this. Please take me back to the bed. Take me back. I just don't want to see whatever it is, you know. She said, no, you don't worry. Just look down. I said, no, I'm not going to see. No, look. I said, no. So we were arguing for about a minute or two. And then I presume he knew I was quite fearful of that. And okay, then he took me back there. But then as she was taking me back to where there was no glass, and I told myself, what is there to fear? There's a glass that protects you. Everybody is standing there. And you are a stupid joker. You're fearing that you fall through the glass. And if you do, unfortunately, it's your, I don't know, yeah, whatever. But the Dharma here is this. I actually did bit by bit on my own when my friends went off, wherever they go. I put my first step there first. And my second step. And my third step, very slowly. But at the same time, I actually keep it very quiet, very still. to the fact that I was actually more in a meditative mode. And I actually stand there for a solid 10 minutes. And I saw the fear came. The fear to the highest, I really want to run already. Huh? I honestly, my legs are a bit shaky. But I stood there, I said, I have to conquer this. And I said, no, I have to steel my mind, I have to keep it very quiet. And watch it come, and watch it go. And sadhu to myself, I actually did it.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. You see, the Buddha and the teaching, he said our perception is very dangerous. Delusion can cause you to arise the wrong perception. Wrong perception means what? You perceive things wrongly, not the reality. You perceive through the thought, through your delusion, through your egoic mind that projects the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why delusion is fear. What is fear? Fear means what? Behind is what? Fear of death, correct or not? If there is no delusion of the self, how can this fear arise? This fear arises because of the conditioning. You always believe you exist. Then when you see this, that perception through the thought project, what happens if this thing not built properly? Because it's glass. You have been conditioned, glass break easily. Understand or not? Because you understand tempered one to break easily. Cannot. You use that, you die. That's why you don't understand. I explain to you. Quickly, I explain to you. You got another 5-6 minutes.
One time, this kind of fear.
Yes.
Where gui la is the word devil.
I know devil.
Okay. So then I ask myself, do I need to fear? Is it because of my thoughts that is creating this fear? So when I look into the thoughts, then I tell myself, yeah, it's actually the thoughts that's playing tricks with me. So it's creating the fear in me. So what I did was, like I did what sister did, I challenged myself.
Correct.
So, and I got through it. That, oh.
No, you may got through it, but you don't remove fear. Understand? You know why? Your thought, through the knowledge, you try to rationalize. Then you try to like the tempered glass. Because you say, tempered glass, what? How can it fail? If they dare to put it out, sure, nothing happened. So you use this to create what? Security. You know what is security?
Yeah.
The mind wants to be very safe. Understand?
So I haven't finished saying what I've said yet.
Okay.
So from this, and from what Brother Teo says, then I look at fear in a different sense. That fear is the shaking of thoughts. When the thought comes in, it infiltrates you. So if that is what Brother Teo is trying to say, then I do agree that fear is a delusion.
Definitely it's a delusion. That's why I say the underlying factor behind is still fear of death. Death means what? You feel very insecure, understand or not? Like you cannot snatch teeth before. I can relate this experience to you. Oh, Sue, where is Sue? Sue was the one who told me that. He cannot snatch teeth in Taman Tuno. For a few months, he told me, Brother Teo, every time I hear motorbike sound, how? Before that, no such thing. Happy-go-lucky. So, happily buying things and doing all things. So what is fear? Fear is the insecurity projected by thought. Understand not? That's why thought is the culprit, egoic. Understand not? But you cannot blame thought. Understand not? You blame your own delusion. Because thought is like money. Understand not? Money is not the source of all evil. Understand not? Money is money, understand not? It depends on the user of money, understand not? If the user of money is wise, money becomes wholesome, wise, understand not? Thought is the same. It's neither evil or good. If the user of thought has wisdom, that thought becomes right thought, wholesome thought, good thought, then no more fear. Everything is the way it is. But if you are deluded, that's why the underlying root behind fear is delusion. Understand or not? That's why it takes you quite a while to admit that there is delusion. But thought project, it wants security. Understand or not?
So what is real?
Very good. It's okay, it's okay. That's how you learn. This is supposed to be Dhamma discussion. Tuesday class, you must have more of this question. Hey, go to there, Joyce there. Don't need to turn, go to Joyce there.
Okay, this is for security. No, actually, when I was in Taiping some 2 years ago in SBS, one night, I don't know whether this is a delusion. The Naga came to see me because there are beings. Because we are in the cemetery area, and that particular day, I had done a lying down meditation, and I put the foot towards the Buddha, you know. And there are lots of beings like that. That night he came, and subsequent night also, and I could hear him. Nobody else could but me. A blipping sound, and there's somebody that's like I can feel my hair standing on ends, and it's going right through my feet and all that. So I thought, well, this must be a wicked being from the cemetery or something like evil, you know, at first. Then I sent metta. I was frightened, you know. I sent metta, and the next day I was asking the people in the SBS and said, oh, this place is full of beings because it's a cemetery site. And what have you been doing? So I said, that's what I did. And he says, well, there is a Naga, a couple of Nagas here, you know, and you may have offended them by doing that. Now, should I fear that or not?
See, that is a pretty smart question. Should I fear that or not? You're asking herself. Why you want to ask me?
Because you said fear is a delusion. A delusion.
No. Yeah? Now it's
so
your
here
wait,
I am.
Wait. You listen to your own question. Should I fear that or not? You're asking yourself. I don't need to answer.
Why do I ask such a question? Because I'm wondering whether I'm deluded in believing in something like that.
This is very good again. We learn some more things. What did I tell you? Investigate into everything like the Buddha said. Why you want to ask for an answer? Ask for an answer means what? You don't want to investigate anymore.
I did, Brother Tio. I investigated. I said,
I know,
who is this
I understand.
Fellow coming here? Why is he doing it? Hello, let me give you some matter. And then he went away.
Okay, I answer. I understand what you mean. You want me to express my opinion, my view. That's why I say you're very, very smart. But I want to point out to you is, you ask your own question, should I fear? Of course, you ask yourself, how can... then you someone want an answer, should I fear? Yeah, that's why you fear. Means your question, which should be rephrased, I arise the fear actually that time. But should I fear? Then it's a different question. Correct. Yes. Yes. Delusion. So, your understanding that you read already answer your question. As long as there is delusion, it's real. That's not. Because delusion tell you it's real. Naga, no hair on what? All the hair. On what? Stand? On what? All the hair stand. Yeah, in Chinese, mo chang. Correct. Because the form and mind, you must come to understand. What is this form and mind? It's not you, understand not? Then why do you arise all this delusion? But you cannot just rationalize it through intellectual understanding, through knowledge, understand? That's why I say, when you say you understand, like just now, the lady, say, because You understand through knowledge and seeing it through the direct experience in the meditation is two different things. When you see it really happening, the condition arising, cause of knowledge, then you insight into it, there is a wisdom, you awaken to it, then you realize, hey, this is the reality, not what they think, not what the books say, all those are theory, that's why that one cannot free. This one, when you awaken, you got no more doubt on another. So it is no more thought-based, understand? That's why I say thought-based is limited. The egoic mind within the field of thought, thought is within the field of the known, limited. The unknown, it cannot understand. So when it cannot understand, what are you going to do? I think I finish off this one. We don't have much time. Later on, we continue. You see, I haven't finished this about insecurity. Because Krishnamurti explained very clearly. Human beings' problem is you want security. Everything also you want to have, like 100% sure. Then only can sleep peacefully. I can ask you a simple question. Most of our houses are grill. You think the grill can protect you? You feel safe? But you psychologically feel very safe. I got a grill. But they just go and now the oxy cutter is so small. Just cut the ear, the whole lock. You go and buy such an expensive lock, but the ear, one few seconds gone already. Understand? It's a false sense of security that you create for yourself. Understand? But at least it helps you because you sleep well.
Can I share the happy ending to this story? The second night he came, I sent him metal, and he went away.
Oh, sadhu.
This last year,
which means not bad.
This past year in December, I went back to SBS. I had the 15-day retreat.
Yes.
I never feared anything. I just said, hey, guys, I'm here again.
Oh,
I'm here to meditate this time more seriously.
I didn't fear anything. Very good. In a way, now you have more understanding and confidence. But it's still not totally rooted out. When it's totally rooted out, it's different. It's no more like you listen, they say, yeah, here got naga. Oh, got naga. Okay, but they'll say, ready metta. Next day, go, come, ready metta. Oh, gone, no more problem. Okay, ready, no fear. The actual fear that is rooted out is different. Understand? He understands the anatta nature of the form in mind. Understand? Because you got it. The underlying thing is to understand this fine aggregate of form in mind. Not the first aspect alone, as a human, as a mental, fine aggregate, the thought. Understand? Thought is egoic as long as there is sakayatiti, there is delusion. As long as you don't see in the meditation and insight into the characteristic of nature to see clearly what anatta is, you can never transcend, I tell you. No, better thought, more intellectual thought. But it is not a solution, it's not a permanent fix, understand? It's a temporary fix. And that's why in this world, a lot of people like that, got problem, go and ask medium, go and try the sensei, go and try the doctor, go and try psychiatry, everything. Finally, temporary fix. After a while, come back. But the Dhamma permanently fixed, understand? No, more important is different people will feel it differently because you have a mind that is trapped inside consciousness and you don't understand what is this form and mind, you don't know how to use, understand? So delusion, self-delusion, as long as it's not rooted out, that's why sakayatiti is the first of the 10 fetters. If it's not rooted out, you can never realize the truth. So whatever you do through rationalization or those things is what exactly Krishnamurti say. Human beings' problem is because there is this underlying fear, and the root cause of fear is insecurity. Understand? You want to feel secure. What is this world all about? The Buddha already said, everything that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Why your own teacher also you don't go and investigate and believe him? You can see in life, everything that arises, there is no creator God. Everything arises naturally through cause and effect, condition arising, cause of love. If everything is real, then that means what? At this moment, all of the condition is fulfilled. The reality will be like that. Tsunami will come. Will come. Where God got naga, whether naga or no naga, also that is the reality. Then why your thought want to project and stand on end and have fear? Because you don't trust the nature's law. Understand? You don't trust nature. You want things your way. Understand? Born of what? Sakaya diti. Self-delusion. You fear because your thought project. What happened if there's a ghost? Like what she went through. Then what happened if this naga angry with me? No. Whether day after or after or after, is still the thought that project. Understand not? Like Mr. Kang said, how you know it's naga? You say, I saw it. Understand not? It can be. Understand not? But I am not you. That's why I don't know what happened. But what you really is beautiful because it is good sharing. What we want to point out is the underlying fear, understand, is delusion. And because of delusion, the fear arises. And the underlying cause of fear is security. You want to be sure, understand? You want to have security. So, it's just like America. I always give this example. You know what America do or not? I can have armament, nuclear weapon. You cannot have. You have, you must disarm. Otherwise, I destroy you. Because you are a threat to me. But he got all this. It's not a threat to the rest. Human being like that one, very selfish. If you see your neighbor like a threat to you, you want to think and plan in such a way that he is no more a threat to you. That's why human mind is very selfish. A lot of fear. A lot of insecurity. Then when you heard somebody walk by and say, hey, that house just got robbed. You know how got robbed? No grill. No alarm. Oh, then go and pay money and fix alarm. As if it's going to make a big difference. The most important thing you must do is, more tangible and more logical is, don't go and flash around with all the nice car and everything. Make your house outside simple. Inside you can have your thing. Then it avoids the condition for all these things. So then take care of karma. Understand? When your karma is taken care of, karma take care of you. Understand? That's why people went and see the Buddha. What protect? The Buddha say, virtue. Your virtue protect you, nothing else. So if you know all this, why don't you avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, and cultivate virtue, and trust your nature. Understand? Then what is there to fear? Fear of what? After all form and mind not so real. He know you, he know me. The thought somehow allow it to. The Malay were goring you. Every day cannot goring someone, don't know. Someone think very smart, very intellectual. Next time I must do like that. Next time. That is not the Dhamma. So I think we exceeded a bit. You meditation, you continue. I read to you. So that you know what to do. So next session is 3 to 4:30. Now it's 3:10 already. Formal meditation, we are sitting or lying down or walking, and daily mindfulness training. We are bowing and Dhamma contemplation, reflection and inquiry within the vicinity of the temple area. While in the walking, standing, sitting and lying down posture. You can do it here if you want. Then if it's not too hot, you want to walk a bit, you go. I must let you all know, just now, the morning session, I went around and have a look. Although I was having this nose problem, but I still went around and I rejoice in many places. Because there are certain people who look for isolated place and meditate. I think one of the sisters was at the Sapalohan on the wall there, center alone. you will know who la later. Then I saw Mimi, they all up there. Sue also up there. Then Chuy was with Vincent. They were also up there. Then, of course, some of you do your walking over. But more important is maintain mindfulness. You can do what you want. Understand? Then train your mind. Understand? Body and mind is one. Do the bowing is good. I saw her do the bowing. Then Ing Bi, when she walked, was good. That walking was good. Now it's more natural. Where is she? Oh, yes. Very good. Your walking is very good. I can see there is mindfulness. There is the understanding of it. Not like those people who walk funny way. Then the way you do, you see, first few days maybe you can allow yourself not to be so serious. That's why we can laugh a bit, joke a bit, you talk a bit, but try to reduce it as we approach the 26. After 26, very little or no more Dhamma, unless Q&A. Okay? And try to remain silent. Noble silence will make a big difference to your mind. Then when you experience that, you can make use of that to insight into phenomena and awaken. That is useful. But you don't go and use that mindfulness to create fantastic, calm, still state and attach to it. So whatever you experience during your meditation or contemplation, if it doesn't bring about wisdom and insight, it doesn't serve you much. It's just a condition, arising state, an experience. Nothing special. You can say, I got good meditation when I was at the retreat. I was so calm, so peaceful. My mind was unshakable collector. So what? End of the day, first noble truth hit. Does it waver? Do you depend on the samadhi to make you peaceful? Or naturally, without anything, you are peaceful. And the best test is when somebody just disturb you or the thunder zoom, you caught unexpected. That's why the thought, fear of the unknown, there is fear. That's why in the meditation Thursday class, and sometimes, Hu Ping Ching said, I used to see this. Every time thunder, brow, I look, so many, the heart. Because inherent is like that. But when you really develop the wisdom and the understanding, the first thing is it will go to the mind bit. Stop there. Of course, no sound. The tongue is like, because all of consciousness has to come from the source. Understand? From here, it arises. Understand? So, the heart, the gateway, this is where everything comes to be. And you will understand all this. You will come to develop your own understanding. Yeah. Okay, I will leave it to you all. Yeah? Then you proceed with your meditation. Then after that, I will come and ring the bell at about 4:30. Yeah? Then we can have another session of Q&A.